It's time for the Monday Waffle, a podcast dedicated to all things West Australian Football League. Your hosts Michael Stamp and Jack Davidson are joined by Tara Carlin, Bonnie Rayner, Chaddy De Hare with expert boundary riding information, analysis of last week's game, forecast of next week's game. Did you get your tips in? Did you get your tips out? What are you planning to do next weekend? If it involves West Australian footy, just make sure you start your week with the Monday Waffle.
East Perth are the first team into the 2014 Grand Final, while it's season over for the Swan Districts as week one of the finals is into the books. Hello, Michael Stamp with you today as I say hello to Jack Davidson and Bonnie Rayner.
How are you guys?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jack.
Excellent.
Big weekend of footy as the Royals book their spot in the Grand Final for the second year in a row.
Oh, how stoked would you be to be East Perth? Straight one game. Reasonable win and straight to the finals.
How sad would you be to be a Swan District supporter?
I know.
Doesn't that just tell the tale of their season though? Or at least the second half of it?
Absolutely.
It really does, yeah. Dropping off in the fourth quarter and they scored 1 point to 9 goals.
Ran out of puff.
I was pretty surprised that they were actually in the game.
In it for so long? Yeah.
They'll set to take back their glory and hit back against the haters, but it just wasn't for them. Like, Sharks had the breeze and they used it. They absolutely nailed it and they needed to.
Okay, we'll get into the games in a little bit, but just a few housekeeping things. Peel's Brendan Jones won his second Tucky medal for the Best and Fairest Award in 2014. That's his second win. He won in 2012 and also 2008 with Perth Demons. Jacob Ballard was runner-up in his first season at Peel. And also Hayden Schloyth won the WJ Hughes medal for South Fremantle's Best and Fairest. Could we see him in the AFL again next year?
Look, nothing's really too much of a stretch of the imagination now, is it? You know, you get a couple of good things under your belt and like, look, you're a fringe player.
He did have an impressive season.
Yeah, that's what I think as well, buddy. Yeah. So yeah, he won it ahead of Tim Kelly and Ashton Hams as well. So Hams had a good season in his return to the Waffle. And also, it was announced on the weekend that the Waffle will be a top five next season.
Ooh.
As we spoke about that about
earlier
a month ago.
Yeah,
exciting.
Here at first on the Monday Waffle.
What are your thoughts on that, guys?
It's going to be an amazing dynamic next season, I reckon.
I was interested to hear about how it would actually work. So we assume that the top team would have 1 week off in the first week of finals. That could be interesting. I wonder if that would work in their advantage or... I just think it throws a spanner in the works. I think it's fun.
And especially with the fifth side team. So if we apply that to this year, Claremont would have made the finals and probably be more of a threat to...
And that would have been perfect East for them because they were just...
Yeah.
They're ready now best form.
Yeah, it really brings in the underdog. Someone like Swans who have nosedived from the first half to the end of the season comparatively to, like you said, Bonnie, Claremont who have just shot straight up out of the tiger cage, you know?
It's Monday, so it's the Monday Waffle. Keep listening.
The first semi-final was East Fremantle coming back in the fourth quarter to defeat Swan Districts by 23 points, 19-7, 121 to 14-14, 98. Guys, East Fremantle, I think, got out of jail this week.
9-goal last quarter.
Just ridiculous. 53-point turnaround.
And especially with the wet conditions in the last quarter, that is an impressive effort.
Yeah, look, like I mentioned just before, the Sharks took advantage of that howling wind. Swans started off, they were all set to dominate and prove their haters wrong by being up by 30 by three-quarter time. It's insane. Mm. And, you know, they just couldn't stick with it and unfortunate with the weather as well.
The Sharks did start fighting back in the third quarter, but Swans were able to keep them goal for goal. They kept coming up with an answer for everything that East Fremantle threw at them. But what was it? Swan Districts just ran out of puff or ran out of legs? Or they played three great quarters, as their coach Greg Harding said. He said he thought it was fantastic for three. And then what was the last quarter?
We'll speak to Rob Young, the East Fremantle ruckman, later on in the podcast. I really want to know what Steve Malaxos said at three-quarter time because he must have given them the biggest spray to get them up for the last quarter. They had a bit of a mishap before the game. Rory O'Brien was wearing the number 3 instead of his usual 4. His jersey actually went missing before the game.
Oh.
Didn't stop him from getting 23 disposals, yeah. though.
You'd hate to be superstitious or anything like that.
Yes.
Wearing the wrong number. But Brett Peake kicked 4 goals. They might rely on him too much a little bit, but Jack Parham chipped in with 3, and Andrew Stephen was put down forward, where his usual self is found back, kicked a couple of goals in the last quarter to really get the Sharks going.
Former skipper Mark McGough racked up 29 possessions for the Sharks. Rory O'Brien, 23 disposals. Brad Dalziel, 21. You know, the list just goes on. The Sharks were just an all-round team by the end of the game.
They were missing Jamie McNamara, which is a big loss for them. He has a bit of a shoulder injury. He should be back this weekend, which would be good for the Sharks midfield coming up against the likes of Kyle Horsley and Bristow for the Subiaco Lions. But the Swans, they did pretty well missing captain Talon Ames. He was out with a hamstring, and Blaine Bonkhorst was out with a knee. So I think the Swans, would they be happy with this year?
No, not at all.
With the first half, perhaps, but they peaked too early and they couldn't see out the rest of the season.
Yeah, that 10-2 record at the start was just...
unexpected.
They just needed to capitalize. Yeah, unexpected. Yeah. I tipped them for the wooden spoon, so I think a lot of people...
Ricky Carey should be happy with his.
Yeah, absolutely.
He booted 5 goals on the weekend. He was
He's been consistent the whole way through.
AFL, Jack, I'll put this to you again.
Yes.
Yes! What a direct answer.
Straight to the point. I like it. Yeah, I think he'll be in the AFL next year. And needs to put on a bit of weight, though, because he might get bulldozed in the forward line by some older players. But Swans, yeah, the second year in a row that they've been bounced in the first week of the finals.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
So East Fremantle are into the preliminary final this weekend against Subiaco, and their ruckman Rob Young joins us now. Rob, talk us through that last quarter, kicking 9 goals to none.
Yeah, well, it was a bit surprising, I suppose, for everyone else but the boys out there. 3-quarter time. Steve Malaxis just told us to take the game on, and the boys came out and did just that. So it was very pleasing from our point of view.
And the first 3 quarters, is that what Steve said you weren't doing, taking the game on? You just needed to attack the ball and pretty much that sort of stuff?
I think we got beaten to the ball a fair bit by the Swan Districts boys. They seemed to outnumber us at every contest early on, and... We had patches throughout the game, but we weren't consistent enough throughout the game to really challenge them for long enough.
Now, Rob, you had 30 hit-outs and 16 touches. How are you feeling about your own form ahead of the preliminary final?
I was serviceable on Sunday. I kind of built into it as the game went along. I think I've still got a fair bit of room for improvement. Young Blakely, who played in the Ruck for Swan Districts, did a good job, so... I've still got a fair bit of room for improvement leading into the big game on Sunday, but it helped having big James Bristow back there as well to help us in the ruck, so that was fantastic.
Yeah, and Subiaco should have Frank Stockley back as well as McDougall. Is that a part of the game on the weekend that you're identifying that you need to win in the ruck?
Yeah, without being in the meetings thus far, I'd be suggesting that that's definitely an area that we need to get on top of. When James and myself are up and going, it really gives first hands to our midfield. And I think the game's going to be won and lost in the midfield this week. Both sides have got fairly strong midfields. And, I think that's where it's going to be won and lost.
Now, you've faced Subiaco 3 times this season and you've won 1 and they've won twice. They've got a huge, you know, big names in the forward line. Is that going to play an impact in the game if you're unable to shut them down?
If we're unable to shut them down, it will. But I've got full faith in our back line. I think we've pretty much got the best back line in the competition with the likes of Stephen Dodd and Matthew Jarp and Andrew Stevens and Brock O'Brien back there. Tommy Howlett as well. So... I think we match up pretty well on their tools, and I think our small brigade down back have got them covered as well. So, as I said, I think the midfield, shutting down their supply from the midfield will be the key on the weekend. If we can manage to do that, I think we might be able to hold their forwards at bay.
And speaking of your back line, Andrew Stephen went down forward and kicked a couple of goals. How was he after the game?
Yeah, he was up and about, Steve-O. He loves a goal. I think he's only kicked 11 or 12 goals in his career, so in over 100 games. So I'm sure he'll be talking about it all week on the track this week, and he'll be nudging the forwards coach to get him up there a little bit more this weekend.
Now, if you are able to get the win on Sunday, which of course we hope you will, what will the celebrations entail?
I don't think it'll be too over the top.
Still got another week.
Yeah, there's still another week to go, and we've been in this position before 2 years ago. So, we're just really excited, really looking forward to it. Losing the grand final 2 years ago, it plays on your mind. I know it plays on my mind every day. So it's something that, we really want to achieve as a group, is making the grand final and giving ourselves another shot at winning a premiership. So, that's what we've got our fingers crossed for this weekend.
And how much does that finals experience help yourself and the team in this sort of scenario?
Yeah, it helps us quite a bit. The boys have played a fair bit. There's still a few young boys in the side, but there's a lot of older heads as well, the likes of Doddy and guys like that. With that experience, I think it allows us to settle down. And like on the weekend, we knew we were always in the game. We didn't panic, even when we were 5 goals down at three-quarter time. So, it does definitely help.
Great. Well, good luck. All the best for the weekend. And well done on making it this far. And thanks for joining us on the Monday Waffle.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Hi, this is Basil Zemplis. Mondays. Can't wait for Mondays to come around, because you know what that means. Online, there it is. My brand new edition of the Monday Waffle.
East Perth are one step closer to making up for last year's grand final, defeating Subiaco by 32 points, 13 goals 12-90 to 7 goals 16-58. A pretty inaccurate scoreline for Subiaco, guys.
Yes, but East Perth is straight into the grandy, but more importantly, who are they going to play?
I think they'll play Subi again, to be honest.
I don't know. After East Frio's efforts on the weekend, 19 goals in total and 9 goal last quarter, I think they're looking sharp.
It will be close.
But I think it will be Subi. I'd like it to be something that we're not expecting, though. So it would be good to see the Sharks through to the grand final.
But we have been backing Subi for a grand final
the
whole season.
But they were so inaccurate on the weekend. They kicked at 30%.
Yes.
Just killed them, really.
It was sloppy.
First quarter, zero goals 5 to 4 goals 2 of East Perth. And
that was too much of a margin for them to make up in the end, wasn't it? They trailed by almost out the whole game.
Yeah, but for the Blues, quick effective goals, they got the first 4 of the game, which is pretty good, and then 3 in 4 minutes to welcome in the second half.
East Perth were favourites. I mean, they were minor premiers, but they hadn't actually beaten Subi the whole year.
Subi always have the upper hand on them, don't they?
Yeah, so we were pretty unsure about it last week, myself and Katie, but we thought just with East Perth's good run and also getting a lot of West Coast players back, they got 8 Eagles back into the team. 10 changes all up from their loss against Claremont the week before. The Eagles returning were Pat McGinnity, Josh Hill, Dom Sheed, who had 25 touches against his old team, Ash Smith, Sam Butler, Adam Carter, Blaine Wilson, and Brant College. So you can see why they won.
So considering that, for it to only be a 32-point margin is a pretty good effort for the Lions. That's 8 pretty big names that made a return.
Exactly, but like Sammy was saying, Subi had the home and away season mental game, but I think East Perth just have the finals mental game at the moment. They've got the history, they've got the premiership from last year.
I don't think it matters who they play in the grand final, to be honest.
You think they're just going to take it away?
Yep.
Hey,
yep.
Jack, would you say they're royally unstoppable?
Oh, no.
Now, Katie's not with us today, but we have spoken to her, and she is so stoked that the Royals are through to the grand final.
I could step in for her and be the East Perth fangirl.
Yeah. It's another wee moment for Katie.
Yes, inclusive all the way.
Wee. Dean Cadwalder had 27 touches and Sam Butler 29. Kyle Horsley had his lowest possession game for the year.
Oh, no.
19 touches, and it just wasn't the game to have such a little impact on the game. So it's do or die for Subiaco and East Fremantle in the preliminary final. They'll play on Sunday, September 14 at 2:15 at Medibank Stadium this week. Guys, what are your thoughts for this game?
Subi.
I think either way it's going to be a blockbuster. Both teams are in great form. And I reckon it will also be Subi, but I don't reckon East Freo will go down without a fight.
No, they've met 3 times this year, Subiaco winning 2 of the 3 games. Round 2 in Geraldton, the Lions won by 56 points. Round 13, the Sharks got back. They won by 9 points in wet and muddy conditions at Medibank, and most recently was 2 weeks ago, where Subiaco won by 25 points at Medibank Stadium. So, Subi have the edge over them this year. East Fremantle have been held to 6, 11 and 8 goals in those matches. I think they need to kick at least 14, 15 goals to win this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, East Frio, they've been up and down all season, not super consistent, unlike Subi have been, you know, mostly a top 4 team throughout the season. East Frio, lucky to make the four this year. You know, I really do think Subi are just going to bring it to them and just not necessarily roll over them, but I think they're going to be meeting East Perth.
What are the keys to get to the game, do you think? Is their forward line for Subiaco just too strong in front of East Fremantle's? I mean, the Sharks only have really Brett Peake and Jack Parham up forward, and they rely on their midfielders kicking goals. Whereas Subiaco, they've got Matthew Boland, Reece Waters, Shane Yaron. I think they've got too many threats up forward that the Sharks will not be able to contain.
Yeah, Subi's got a strong forward line and an effective middle. You know, if they can just maintain possession of the ball, the defenders can have a relatively easy game.
Okay, so let's get a tip and margin from each of us.
I'm going to go Subiaco by 31 points.
I'm going to go Subi by 13.
And I'm going with Subiaco by 23 points to go into their seventh grand final in 11 years, I think it is. So,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so one of the most successful teams of this decade. So well, I think we're predicting an East Perth Subiaco grand final.
Yes, I believe so.
That is it for today's Monday Waffle. We'll be back next week with the grand final teams and previewing the biggest game of them all this season, and also a team of the year we're going to put together for next week's episode as well. So stay tuned for that one.
Keep kicking goals.